In the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
How many more people are going to have to die in this situation before the problem gets solved?
Not one more! Not one more!
Fighting for Idaho.
This year, we will bring America's longest war to a responsible end.
900 soldiers from Oregon are now in Idaho preparing to head to Afghanistan.
I think it's fantastic. We've been picked as an elite group.
Fighting for you.
A median pay package for CEO breaking the eight-figure barrier last year.
CEOs have a tremendous amount of responsibility, and very few people can do their job.
So you're okay with that?
I am okay with it.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Joining us now, our great friend Ken Ivory from the Americans Lands Council, Utah State Representative. Representative Ivory, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between politics in Utah and politics in Idaho?
Well, it's a good question. I can't speak fully to politics in Idaho, but, you know, I think we're fortunate to have people that on the ground, my constituents, understand and support the fact that we've got to look ahead. And I think, you know, in Utah, we kind of have a culture of you know, that self-reliance and preparation. And you know, there's a lot that comes out of the LDS faith that's based on preparation and year supply and those sorts of things. I think some of that preparation and looking forward plays into the mindset, but I don't know that it's that different. It may be just a factor of time. We had that whole Escalante staircase monument that was laid on us in 1996, you know, where they took 1.8 million acres overnight against all of the laws and precedents, and even the emails of the Clinton staff said it was done for political purposes. The land wasn't threatened. It locked up $2 trillion worth of the world's most clean-burning coal. And I think things like that have really set the mindset that we know the governing partnership idea between state and federal government is unfortunately in serious trouble. And if we don't act as a full partner to restore balance, we're going to keep getting this federal overreach that really is going to reach into every aspect of our lives. And I think that's coming everywhere. We've seen in New Mexico, and you know, you're seeing things in Idaho, and it's just a matter of waking up and understanding that we on the ground are the government.
Well, and then you have that great relationship between your Speaker of the House and your governor as well.
Yeah, politics are politics, right? It is the same kind of thing wherever you go. But it really does come right down to the people and what they want and what they'll tolerate and what they won't tolerate. So education is the number one factor everywhere we go. You know, when the people are informed as to the facts and the consequences, the real facts and the real consequences, I think the people by and large make the right choice. And so it's a matter of getting that information out. And generally, people will act in the long-term best interest, I believe.
Well, since you brought it up, let's go to the president's recent land grab in New Mexico. Why did he do it? Does he have the authority to do it? And I suppose if there's a law against it and no one enforces it, who's to stop him?
Well, who's to stop it? That really is the theory of the day coming out of Washington. You know, going back into this designation in Utah with the Escalante staircase, there were emails coming right out of the Council of Environmental Quality that, I've got some of them right here in front of me. The political consequences of designating these lands as a monument when they're not threatened. Presidents have not used the monument designation authority this way in the past. The discretion is too broad. This is the associate director of the Council of Environmental Quality under President Clinton. The director of the Council of Environmental Quality said the lands are not really endangered. And then they talk about the political purpose of the event was to strengthen the base of the president, President Clinton, in advance of the 96 election. And they said in their own emails, well, if we do this, this could lead to other designations of the kind. And so when you allow, just like you're saying, Kevin, when you tolerate Washington exercising powers that were never delegated to them, it becomes the precedent for a second and a third and to the point now that we have a system that really isn't the system that was designed and given to us that produces peace and prosperity, where you have governments that exist to protect liberty and property and self-governance, where states are that vital external check to the federal government. Now states are just sticking their hand out and hoping to get more money than the next guy, realizing that at some point we will have picked this carcass clean and printed our way into poverty instead of prosperity.
Well, you bring up a good point, and not to switch it to economics, but you know, you take a look at the markets blowing up, and then on the other hand, you still look at the faux unemployment rates that, you know, we don't count the people that have checked out of the system, Representative Ivory, and then we take a look at the Fed printing funny money, and sooner or later, the rubber has to hit the road, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can't pretend to print prosperity. It just violates all the basic laws of economics. You know, the falling feels like flying for a while, and then it ends really abruptly. You know, the labor participation rates are at some of the lowest rates in 40 years, but they game the numbers, right? They change GDP to double count things. And, you know, if you just change the numbers, you can pretend to have it look good for a while. But, you know, $18 trillion in debt, still overspending at nearly $1 trillion a year, those are very serious things when you've got nations around the world, are you know, China, Russia, the BRICS are all banding together to go away from the dollar as the reserve currency, and then you run out of runway. You can't print anymore, and now we have to go back to the basic formulas of producing more than we consume. Now with an $18 trillion debt load, and fortunately, we have more than $150 trillion. In mineral value locked up in the federally controlled lands. As you know, you have forest resource that are phenomenal that right now are being managed as a liability instead of being managed as one of the world's greatest renewable assets that fund education, create jobs, produce vibrant economies.
Ken Ivory joining us, state representative from Utah, from the American Lands Council here at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Has the president, President Obama, done more than, let's say, George Bush or Bill Clinton when it comes to the feds grabbing state lands and declaring them monuments and such? Again, you look at the local reaction to what happened in New Mexico, the sheriff down there going, it's a pathway for the illegals to run wild. It makes no sense. It takes away state sovereignty, and he does it anyway.
Yeah, you've got a couple things going on in New Mexico. You have that monument designation that, yes, they do it anyway without regard to the people on the ground who understand the situation. Let me tell you a quick story. I had a good friend, Representative Galvez, passed away. His widow was down riding horses down in Bryce Canyon, and she called me. She was just upset. She'd lost her horses. They got away. And you know, could I help? And I'm up in Salt Lake. She's down in southern Utah. And so I called the county commissioner. Commissioner Leland Pollock, and I said, Commissioner, is there anything you can do to help? And he says, you know, I'm busy with my dad right now, but if they were at Ruby's Inn when they lost the horses, he says, I know right where they'll be. So how do you know that? Well, I know where horses go when they're there. And so he calls her up and says, go here and look for your horses. And sure enough, it's exactly where the horses were. Because he's a commissioner on the ground who knows his county, who knows the land, who knows the wildlife, who knows what horses do when they're there. Well, someone on a two-year rotation from New Jersey coming in trying to teach people how to ranch and how to farm and how to forest, they're not going to know those things. It's those people on the ground whose lives and livelihoods depend upon the wise use of the land. But when you've got a president and you've got administration agencies that simply run roughshod over the people that know the highest and best use of the land and whose lives and livelihoods depend upon the long-term wise stewardship of that, you're not going to get the best results. We've had some great things, Kevin, out of the Washington Post over the last couple of weeks on how this administration, and not just this administration, but it's been building this way, it is completely ungovernable. It's got to get back to this system where you push power down to the lowest level possible to deal with issues, and that was the genius of our system.
State Representative from Utah, Ken Ivory, joining us here at 580 KIDO from the American Lands Council. Let me ask you this. Why does the West get hosed? We've heard from you about this before. We've heard from Jim. We've heard from Tea Party Bob. You're at the very epicenter of this. Why do we get hosed compared to the folks on the East Coast?
That's a great question, Kevin. We had John Stossel here about a year ago, I guess it was, And we were telling him about this issue and showing him the map, you know, where more than 50% of the land in the western United States is federally controlled. And he really had no prior knowledge of it. And we spent some time talking about what a big issue it is. And when he gave his speech at Utah State, he said, "You folks in the West, you're never going to get your land back." He says, "You're too nice." He says, "Sometimes in the political debate, you have to get louder."
Yeah.
And we keep thinking if we say pretty please in a nicer way or another way that it's going to happen. No, I mean, land and resources and self-governance, they've only ever been obtained, retained by battling. And that's what Illinois and Missouri and Arkansas and Louisiana, they were as much as 90% federally controlled for decades. And their complaints to Washington, "We can't educate our kids, you're controlling our land. We can't grow our economy and provide jobs. You're not keeping your promise to transfer the land. You're hoarding all of our resources. You have to keep this promise." Well, ultimately, they banded together. There was one Democratic senator from Missouri, Thomas Hart Benton, and he simply refused to take no for an answer. He says, "I resolved to move against the whole system. I went to battle for changing this system." Well, Illinois is not 90% federally controlled today. Missouri, Arkansas, they're less than 5%. And that's because they simply resolved and refused to take no for an answer. And this Thomas Hart Benton went out and educated. He educated his colleagues in Congress, but he went to the people all throughout those states and educated them. And when the people had the knowledge that, hey, wait a minute, we're not being treated the same and our promises are the same, they simply refused to take no for an answer. They succeeded. Well, when the West gets more knowledge, and, you know, the kinds of things that Jim Schmelich and others did during that campaign, it was a huge success in educating people. And as we continue to see greater and greater centralization in Washington with more and more devastating impacts on the forest, on access to our lands, on the ability to recreate and hunt and fish, and destroying watershed and wildlife and habitat for generations, when we continue to see that, because that is that system is designed to get those results, as we continue to see that, people are going to wake up and they're going to realize, hey, wait a minute. Our promises at statehood are the same. We need to be treated the same. We can govern ourselves just like the states east of Colorado and produce benefit for our local economies, our state economies, and the national economy.
580KIDO, as we continue on, how does Idaho compare when we're talking about the feds controlling us to other states in our region?
Well, so Idaho is about 62% federally controlled. So your governor and your legislature and your attorney general, you're really only governing 38% of your state. You're a 38% state, and yet the impact is even worse, because the feels like temperature, if you will, everything that touches federal land, everything you have to go through federal land to get to, is also impacted. So it's worse than just being a 38% state. And of course, you know, the Constitution didn't give Congress the authority to create 38% states, or 33% states in the case of Utah. It did not give Congress that authority. It gave Congress the authority to create states with the same rights of sovereignty, freedom, and independence as all the other states. And so, you know, it's a critical issue. And the more we educate, Kevin, the more we get the word out, the very, very simple case on this, the promises at statehood to transfer title to the land, they're the same for all states east and west of Colorado. It's already been done before. Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas, they battled for their lands that were as much as 90% federally controlled and succeeded, and it's the only solution big enough to better care for our environment that's being destroyed now on absentee federal policies, to fund education, to grow the economy locally and nationally. And really all it takes is knowledge and courage. We have to hire and inspire our leaders that we choose who have the knowledge and courage to get this done.
What do you make of the recent conference in Salt Lake, where you had state representatives from 9 states in the West, I believe mountain states, and over 50 folks coming in? We had our own speaker, Bedke, there. Is that a welcome start, and what's happened since then?
Yeah, great question. Speaker Bedke was very big in that. He was one of the co-hosts of the event, along with my speaker, Becky Lockhart. Yes, we came out of that with 4 fundamental points, that we had leaders from 9 different states, both legislative and county leadership, And we came away with four critical points. Number one, we have to educate. We have to use every means and opportunity we have to educate, because as people see that map and they see the dramatic difference and understand that there really is no good reason for that, it changes the paradigm. Second is negotiate. And so in states, we've got committee hearings. We've got, you know, executives that can pull people in to negotiate on these various issues and use that also as a tool to educate. And then legislation, where you get states banding together, looking at legislation both to prepare the logistics of transfer and also to work on the various other issues in putting forward demands and resolutions and building our resolve. And then finally, Kevin, litigation. If the federal government simply refuses to work with us as a governing partner for our both of our benefits, it's a win-win to have more efficient, less costly management with greater environmental quality and access. If they refuse to do that, Utah appropriated $2 million to bring the legal case, and we're working on that as well. And so education, negotiation, legislation, litigation, working with Speaker Bedke and Lockhart now to do the follow-up summit as we continue to move forward. Because what we know is that the Clive and Bundy-type situations, that frustration as we're seeing in New Mexico now, Wyoming, where the EPA just declared it was going to take 1 million acres by agency fiat, these things are happening all over the West. Those issues aren't going away until we restore our system back to where the government's work as a governing partnership to protect liberty and property and self-governance.
More coming up. State Representative Ivory, please stand by. More coming up from Ken Ivory from the American Lands Council. If you have a question concerning Western lands, how it impacts the state of Idaho, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up, we'll talk more about whether or not these Clive and Bundy situations can be avoided, and the power of the BLM, not only in the West, but here in the Gem State as well. 722, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Time for traffic at
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. But don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love.
/7:28, Kevin Miller in the morning. Keep it here during the 8 o'clock hour. Your chance to win that big money, that $1,000 cash. Remember, next hour with the Kevin Miller Show, we're joined by Utah State Representative Ken Ivory, joining us here at 580 KIDO from the American Lands Council. State Representative Ivory, we were talking a little earlier about Clive and Bundy. We did go down, the only local show in America. Even the Las Vegas station didn't go down. We went and... I guess you'd call it being embedded at the Bundy Ranch. We had a firsthand account of what really was going on, and it was quite different than the national narrative.
Well, yeah, Clive and Bundy was put in a really untenable situation. You've got, if you think about building a house on a completely unstable, not a solid foundation, it doesn't matter what you build on top of that, you're going to have a bad house. Well, the foundation at statehood, the federal government, agreed to transfer the land. In fact, Nevada's Enabling Act, its statehood contract, is word for word the same as Nebraska's. They were done at exactly the same time. Nebraska goes from more than 30% public land down to 1, while Nevada goes from 86 to 81. And so the federal government fails to honor its promise at statehood to transfer the land. It then multiplies this government bureaucracy that then, I mean, think about this. This just is hard to even fathom. It sends in SWAT team-like agents with attack dogs and tasers and helicopters and machine guns to collect a fee, a fine. So a purely civil matter, and our government comes in the most egregiously uncivilized manner to collect a fee or a fine. It's absolutely unheard of.
What about the power of the BLM?
Well, the power of the BLM, interesting, Kevin, in the organizing legislation for the BLM. It was called the Taylor Grazing Act. It was in 1934. It follows on a push by the states in the late 20s and early 30s to honor the promise to transfer the land. In 1932, Congress held hearings entitled Granting Remaining Unreserved Public Lands to the States. And yet the agency stepped in and said, okay, we'll transfer the land. We know that we need to keep the promise. We'll transfer all the land to you Western states. We're just going to keep all the minerals. And the states banded together in the middle of the Depression and killed that bill that would only honor half a promise. In fact, our Democratic governor at the time, George Dern, said, if you do that, where you take out everything that's worth anything at all, you'll leave us with nothing but the skin of a squeezed lemon.
Ouch.
And they killed that bill. Well, as a stopgap, a year and a half later, Congress passed the Taylor Grazing Act. And, Kevin, the very first line of the Taylor Grazing Act, that is what created the BLM, it says, this is in order to promote the highest use of the public lands pending its final disposal.
Amazing.
So the idea is the BLM was never to exist. It was simply to manage pending final disposal. We weren't supposed to have a BLM with SWAT teams and machine guns and attack dogs. They were supposed to dispose of the land, and then Clive and Bundy would have been dealing with his state and his county, and they would have handled things in a civil manner, and if he didn't pay his fines, they would have put a lien on the property, and that would have been the end of the whole thing. But we're seeing this type of egregious behavior in Wyoming. You're probably familiar. In December, the EPA, by regulatory determination, you have a government agency acting as judge, jury, and executioner, seized 1 million acres of land in the state and gave it to the Indian reservation. 1 million acres and an entire town.
Gone.
Gone and given to the Indian reservation. The Indian created it as part of the Indian reservation. In New Mexico, water rights that the ranchers, you know, water rights are personal property rights. Rights that the ranchers have held for decades and beyond. The Forest Service just came in, and your lead-in song, Don't Fence Me In, right? They went and fenced the ranchers out from their water. And so cattle are going to die. Economies are going to shrivel up. The food production is going to stop there. And then more than anything, it's that lack of certainty. Business cannot exist and function and thrive and perpetuate without certainty that what they invest in today will allow them to yield a return tomorrow. Otherwise, you don't invest, and that's what's happening all over the West. They're not investing in energy production. They're not investing in food production. Farms and ranches, people are walking away from them because they simply can't handle the regulatory burden. And that's why it's critical what Speaker Bedke, Speaker Lockhart, these leaders around the West are doing. The constitutional officers, those elected by the people to protect property, liberty, and self-governance, that's why government exists. They're standing up at that constitutional level saying, our number one job is to restore balance in this governing partnership to protect the property, the liberty, the self-governance of our people. Otherwise, we're simply going to continue to see increasingly centralized federal government acting as if it can do whatever it wants because there's no competent check to oppose. Its governing partner has abdicated its responsibility to keep that partnership in balance.
Quickly to the phones, we go to Terry in State College, Pennsylvania, for Ken Ivory at 580KIDO.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? Ken, I have a question. If I could, maybe you could help me. The land issue came to light with us from the East Coast some years ago. Are you familiar with Upper Klamath Falls in Oregon, where they were harvesting blue-green algae?
Yeah, I am somewhat. I'm actually going to be in Oregon the end of next week.
Okay. There are several videos where...
Now, we don't have a lot of time, Terry, so you got to get the question in. We got to go.
Okay, the sheriff's departments were very successful in combating this years ago, and there are several videos of it available. Are you doing, and should anybody else be doing anything through their sheriff's department?
That's a great question, Terry.
All right, Terry, thank you for the call. Should the sheriffs kick out the feds?
Yeah, on the American Lands Council website, if you if you go to the search tab at the bottom and type the word jurisdiction, you'll find the most comprehensive report ever done. It was done by the federal government. It was done by the U.S. Attorney General, 33 federal agencies, Comptroller General, and all of the state's attorneys general. It's the most comprehensive report ever done on jurisdiction. The upshot of it is, by this federal report, they say that on the land that the federal government simply owns, the public land, not the military bases, not the post offices, not the things that it owns in its governing capacity, the public lands that it owns, it's merely a landowner like any other landowner. It has no authority in the manner of the state. In other words, it's not the government. By their own report, please read this. It's a phenomenal report. There's a 250-page report that's written to policymakers, another 250-page legal brief that goes through 1,000 different cases. They say the federal government is a landowner, but not the government of that land. Think about that for a minute then. So when you've got the BLM that is merely a landowner to manage land for disposal, not the government, and yet it's coming in with helicopters and attack dogs and tasers, it's critical that the counties, the states, the sheriffs understand jurisdiction and who is the governing authority on that land and to act accordingly. It's a critical issue.
Representative Ivory, we appreciate it. We'd love to have you back.
Be my pleasure, Kevin. If people want more information, AmericanLandsCouncil.org, and then go to the American Lands Council Facebook page and click like on that. There's some great articles just from today from Forbes and also from the Heritage Foundation on there.
All right. Thank you, sir. Take care.
Thanks, Kevin.
Bye-bye. That is Representative Ken Ivory, Kevin Miller, coming up next. Your thoughts on the West getting its lands back. 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, and I saw above me that endless skyway, I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Your reaction to Representative Ivory's talk on Western lands. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. And remember, Governor Otter in the debate said, I wish you luck. I've tried it. I don't think it's going to happen. Who do you believe? Who do you support? We go to Ron in Caldwell at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller. Hello, Ron.
Morning, Kevin.
Good morning, sir.
Well, I have to side with Governor Otter on this one. It's never going to happen in a million years. I'm a special event promoter. I've been putting on events since I was a teenager in 1979. To date, I've done 217 events, motorcycle races, Jeep events, mountain bicycle races, cross-country ski events. I even did a Charlie Daniels concert once upon a time. And my business is thriving now because I completely, utterly threw the towel in on public lands. I wrote an article for Farm and Ranch News about 3 years ago entitled How to Profit from Your Ranch Lands with Special Events. I currently do the biggest motorcycle event in Idaho over on 1,000 acres on the other side of Caldwell. We had about 11,000 attendees last year. In the old days, I would have tried to put that on BLM or Forest Service property, but they've become impossibly difficult to work with. There's no way. So I partner with ranchers that they'll look at their property and say, well, I'm not growing anything over there. I'm not grazing over there. We just did another one down in Utah on 17,000 acres of private property down there. I can thumb my nose at the BLM. I can thumb my nose at the Forest Service. I can tell them to pound sand. They can't touch me. But I've tried to work with them. I could tell you hours and hours and hours of stories. They'll lie. They'll cheat. They'll manipulate. Their end game is they want people off the public lands. They'll start with the motorcycles and the Jeeps because that's low-hanging fruit. It's starting to hammer the mountain bikers now. The horsebackers, your time is coming. Their ultimate end game is to get everybody off the public lands. I've seen it. I've lived it. And my answer is to go to private property and tell them to pound sand. It's working great for me.
Well, hopefully we'll have some private land left after the president gets through with us.
Well, good point. That may be their next. We know they're trying to take water away from private land. So, yeah, I don't know what nightmare is coming there. Hopefully I won't live to see it. But for now, anybody that wants to have some fun, I say find some private property, work something out with the landowner, and have a ball.
Ron, thank you.
You bet.
I appreciate it. 580 KIDO, let's get you to traffic.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
753, Kevin Miller in the morning talking about Western Lands. Then a kind of a different guest coming up next hour. He's a private investigator. You might have caught his piece about him in the Statesman about how your cell phone can actually be used against you in court. Say it ain't so. TPB joining us now, Tea Party Bob, 580 KIDO, Gem State Patriot. Hello, Tea Party Bob.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
Now, you know the governor won.
Oh, stop it, please. The governor won, and that's why we're not going to get our lands back. And who is this guy that talks about special offense? Getting our lands back isn't about special offense. It's about natural resources. Where the heck does he come from?
He says, punt. His name's Ron and Caldwell.
What's he do, promoting himself? You know, this is a very important issue. I'm glad you had Ken Ivory on this morning, because this is an issue that needs to be talked about over and over and over again. This should be one of the biggest focuses in the next election. And we have a governor here that says, good luck on getting your land back. Well, if you want to grow the economy, you have to have access to the resources to grow it. And you have to take those resources that have been locked up by the government and give them back to the people. You know, Ron Ivory is correct. If we don't have a strong governor to fight for this issue, along with cooperation of the other western states, we won't be successful. You know, this is no different than fighting for any of our other rights here. The land does not belong to the government. It was put in their hands to manage in a trust by Congress in Washington. You know, why is everybody so willing to give up? If our forefathers had the same attitude, we'd all be drinking tea instead of coffee and playing cricket baseball.
Let me just say this. The governor said he tried, and he's not going to try anymore.
Oh, he hasn't tried. You know, give me a break. When has he really tried? Give me a break. Show me the paperwork. Show me what he's done. He hasn't tried anything. He's sitting there and pontificating, oh, it's too hard. I don't want to do that. Well, if you're a governor, then you should be standing up for the people. Stop moaning and groaning.
Now, wait a minute. How do you know that's his actual inflection? Come on.
Please. He's no better than our attorney general, who has the same attitude. Oh, we can't do that. That's against the Constitution. Horse manure. Get out there and find a way to do it. There are ways to do it. Hawaii got their land back. Everybody east of the Colorado has their land. What the heck is the matter with the Western
states? Well, I'm going to tell you. You and I talk about this on and off the air. You're too nice. Well, I don't know about you, but Ken Ivory said it. Western people are too nice.
That's true. And you know what? Our good friend Pro-Life is right. The governor's a wuss.
And here I thought we were all going to get along.
You know, if you get along when you do the right thing, if you do the wrong thing, it's very hard to get along with people. And I don't see anything good that's happening here as far as our lands go. They just gave up. They don't want to even bother trying. Like I said, tea and cricket, that's what we be doing.
You heard it here first, folks. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Kevin?
Bob.
I don't know where we're going, but we're heading in the wrong direction right now.
Did you see I sent you that ad for Cody, Wyoming again? They're still looking for a morning show host.
I'm going to put my resume in just to see whether they even listen to me.
I'm going to help you with your tape.
You're going to help me with my tape? I want you to come with me.
Well, maybe that's where we'll go next, you and me in Cody, Wyoming. It's, 10,000 people, and it's $30,000 between the two of us.
It's a nice little piece of land you can get out there. You can live your life quietly. And the taxes are a lot lower.
What are you now, the chairman of the Wyoming Board for Tourism here?
Hey, let's go, baby.
I'll see you, Tea Party Bob.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Just our little joke there. 7:58. Coming up next, though, we love our cell phones, our smartphones, but can they be used against us? By the way, if you were checking out online yesterday, apparently now hackers will jam your cell phones, and then they will somehow send you a message. Your iPhones, they can be frozen now by hackers who are demanding ransom. What? Oh, my goodness. We'll talk about it next. We'll try and give you some cell phone self-defense. That's next hour at 580KIDO. With Kevin Miller in the morning, let's get you to work. 7:59, cell phone self-defense, cell phone security. That's next with Kevin Miller. Plus your thoughts on Western Lands. And why are we glorifying lawbreakers? I mean, really? Here's another thing. They steal that veteran's tricycle in Idaho Falls or Idaho City, and then the town buys them a new one. That's great. That's good. But why not find the bad guys? How hard is it to find a trike? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Serving Emmett.